this morning. I've got this message about being in prison, okay? And I thought about this and I was like, well, God, I'm not doing a prison ministry. What am I supposed to do with this? And something that came to my mind was, you know, there's something that we all have in common. Every one of us. We either were prisoners or maybe you currently are a prisoner. You know, maybe you haven't physically been incarcerated. I thought about opening by saying, who here has been in prison? But then I thought, maybe we don't want everybody to know that. Or maybe you're not ready to tell that testimony yet. But we've all been prisoners, or maybe we're even currently prisoners. And then I thought about, you know, when you're in prison, I've seen a lot of prison movies. I've not been in prison, praise the Lord. But I've seen a lot of prison movies and shows and stuff. And there's kind of these customary questions that come out, right? So if me and TJ are sitting down eating lunch in prison, you know, like it's my first day, he's going to be like, hey, man, what are you in for, right? He wants to know what I did. What am I in here for? You know, and then next week I'm sitting down with Donald and I'm like, man, you've been here for a long time. I'd be like, dude, how much time you got? Like, how much time you got left? How much time are you here for? And then, you know, the next day I might be like, man, what are you going to do when you get out of here? Right? These are the kinds of questions that come up in prison. What are you in for? How much longer you got? What are you going to do when you get out of here? Everyone starts off life as a prisoner. It's kind of a rough deal, isn't it? Thanks a lot. I was going to say Eve, but I go with Adam. Thanks a lot, Adam, for not doing your job and protecting your wife. But we all start out a prisoner. And you know, if we've given our life to Jesus, then praise God. Thank you that we are free. Thank you that we're free from the law of sin and death. But if we haven't done that, then we're still bound by the law. And today we can be free, we can be bound no more. But you know, even if we know Jesus, even if we love Jesus, even if we serve Jesus, do you know that we can still be bound in certain areas of our life? Right? As we just heard testimony of. You can still be bound in certain areas. You can still be in a place where you're confined. You can still be in a place where you have some kind of restraints upon your life, and these things hold you down and keep you from moving freely and from doing what God has called you to do. And I read this account in the Bible with Peter. Okay, Peter finds himself in this place where he's in a bind, and God shows up and he moves in power. So in Acts chapter 12, if you want to turn there, we're going to pick up. Peter's already in prison in verse 6, and it says this. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So here he's in prison. You picture Peter, if you can just picture it in your mind. If you've been there, maybe you have a flashback, I don't know. But he's in prison. But he's not just in a cell like we view prison, right? We see prison, it's like they got a bed in there, they got a toilet, some of these prisons, they got like TVs and stuff in their rooms nowadays. Peter was not in a room where he could just move around and do whatever he wanted. Peter was in a dark little room and he was bound with two chains. Hey, he couldn't do anything. I don't want to get too gross, but I don't know what he did when he had to go to the bathroom. I assume they probably just made him just go where he sat. Okay, he found himself stuck in this dark room, bound with chains, and soldiers on each side of him. Like, I mean, dude, I'm chained to the wall. What do you think I'm going to do? But they got soldiers on the sides of him, and there were guards at the door. Chained, soldiers, guards at the door. Now, Peter was in a place where he was confined, he was restrained, and on top of it, he was double guarded. Now, what does a guy do in a situation like that? I mean, sleep, I guess. That's what he did. Peter chooses to sleep. The question this morning to get you thinking is, you know, what are the things that are binding you? And then what do you do when you find yourself in that situation? What do you do when you find yourself bound? What are the things when you are spiritually bound? What are they and what do you do about it? Because most do the same thing that Peter did. They just go to sleep. They're just like, I'm just going to pretend like it's not happening. I'm going to do whatever. I'm just going to blow it off. I'm going to go to sleep. Because what can you really do about it anyway, right? People find themselves bound in lots of different ways. We see people being bound by sinful habits, sinful lifestyles, some of which they know and they do anyway, some of which they may not even realize are wrong. We see people bound in addictions. We see people bound by their failings, right? That's a place you can be bound, like, I failed again. I messed up again, right? And you start to feel beat up and down. You can be bound by people's expectations for you. Has anybody ever been in that boat? That's an easy one to fall into. You can get bound by that where you feel like everybody has these expectations for you and they're holding you down. You can be bound by condemnation of the enemy. Listen, we can be bound by what we're lacking, by the things that we don't have, because we dwell so heavily on those things that we're not doing anything with the things that we do have, because we're bound by what we're lacking. You can be bound by religion. Yes, you can be bound by religion, and many, many people in churches are. They're so bound by religion that they're not doing anything for God because they're so worried about religion. And so what do you do when you find yourself in this place of confinement, when you find yourself being restrained? Do you just roll over and go to sleep? Do you hope that you'll wake up the next day and it'll be gone and you'll be free? We're going to look at the scriptures here and see what Jesus can do. So Peter's asleep. He's chained heavily in this guarded cell. Verse 7 goes on and says, "Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands." Peter's here, it appears that he's in a really helpless situation. But do you know that there's only one situation that you're truly helpless? And that's when you're apart from Jesus Christ. That's the only time when you're truly helpless. As dark as this looked, as difficult as this situation looked, the only time you're helpless is when you're apart from Christ. Romans 5:6 tells us, "For while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly." It's in that very moment when we are helpless. That's when he died for us. That's when he comes to us, when we receive him, when we're helpless. While we're helpless, we're sinners, and Christ died for us anyway. We can be saved. We can be declared righteous because of our faith in him, through that faith. And if we do that, we're no longer helpless. But Jesus promised to be with us, right? Did he say he'll be with us? Yes? He sent the Spirit to be our helper. And if you have a helper, then you're not helpless, right? So you're never helpless. Not if you have the Spirit of God in your life, because he is the helper. And if we have a helper present, we're always connected to Christ. So Peter was not helpless because he had help. Help showed up. The angel of the Lord stood by old sleepy Peter. I mean, he's sleeping. And it says the angel showed up and stood by him. And then it says a light from heaven shone in that cell. Can I tell you that when God is your helper, the light comes into the darkness? When God is the helper, light comes into the darkness. And when light comes into the darkness, darkness can't hide. Darkness has to flee. There's a light so bright that darkness has to flee. It can't even stay if it wants to. This is the place where Peter finds himself. And this angel wakes him up. Okay, I don't know about you, but if somebody's standing next to my bed, I probably would wake up anyway. Right? Because that creeps me out. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, good, nobody's there. Right? So the angel's standing there and it doesn't wake him up. There's a bright light shining in from heaven and it doesn't wake him up. So the angel's like, Peter, wake up. This is a critical part of getting free. When you're bound and when you're stuck, when you're restrained, this might be the most critical part aside from you need God. You need Jesus. The next critical, most critical part is you have to wake up. You're not going to get free just laying there sleeping. It's time to wake up. Look to your helper instead of to the chains that are binding you. There is freedom to be had, but I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get the freedom if you don't wake up. You're not going to get the freedom while you're sleeping. There is a spiritual wake up that has to take place before you can enter the place of freedom. You have to wake up to a couple of facts, a few of them here. The first one is that you can't do it on your own. You have to wake up to that fact. You know what? I can't do this on my own. But the second thing you got to wake up to is that you don't have to. I've got a helper. He is right here. His name is Jesus. And you have to wake up to the fact that light is breaking through. You have to wake up to those facts. And just like the angel said to Peter, the Spirit of God says to you, arise quickly. Notice he doesn't say, well, have your cup of coffee, and when you feel like getting up, you know, I'll be here waiting on you. He says, come on, arise quickly. He taps him in the side. Come on, let's go, quickly, right now. And when God wakes you up, you have to act quickly. Because what happens if you don't? Yeah, you remember that you're bound. And you start making excuses. Well, you see, God, I'm kind of in this tough situation here. And, you know, I probably should just sit here and feel bad for myself. When God says wake up, you got to move quickly. It's time to go before you start talking yourself into staying in chains. Because he's there to set you free. He says, arise quickly. And I'm going to tell you, there's something that happens when you arise. There's something that happens when you stand up. And in Peter's situation, he had to physically stand up. Right? But sometimes for us, it's probably not physical. Unless you have physical healing you need and you're down in your back. Most of the time, it's spiritual. You know what? It's time to rise up. It's time to get up in your spiritual life, in your spiritual walk. Stand up against the things that are binding you. It's time to stand up. And when you rise up, you're standing up against them. You're showing resistance. And you do that because you're not doing it alone. You're doing it by the power of God. You have the God of the universe by your side and the power that rose Christ from the dead dwelling within you. Rise up, arise quickly. And just like with Peter, the chains will fall off. That's the next step. He said, arise quickly, and the chains fell off. And just as sure as it happened for him, it can happen for you. Do you believe that this morning? Verse 8, the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Peter's being obedient and he's not even sure if this is real. He's not even sure if this is really happening in his life or not. But he rises up. And when you rise up, there's still work to be done. I think a lot of times we like to stop right there. God said, arise. Okay, I'm arising. I'm putting up resistance. I'm free. I'm good to go. I think we stop there. But many people, even if they can wake up to the reality of their situation and they know that God is with them, even if they can arise quickly and even if the chains fall off, they stop there and they begin to celebrate that freedom like there's no more work to be done, like there's nothing else to do. But you know what? At some point, the guards are going to realize that you're gone and they're going to come looking. And you better not still be standing in the cell next to the chains. Or where are you going to go? Back in the chains. They're going to realize you don't stop and celebrate when he says arise. You keep going. Keep following him. Where are we going? What do you want me to do next? Because I'll tell you what, the devil is not going to say, ah, shucks, I lost another one. He probably doesn't use the word shucks. But he's not going to say, you know what, I lost another one. Man, I guess I'll move on to somebody else. That's not how he works. No, he's coming for you. He's coming looking, And if all you do is arise and celebrate, you're probably going to be captured and bound again if you stop right there. The angel told Peter, gird yourself and put on your sandals. To gird yourself is to get dressed, cover yourself up. Use the armor of God, the whole armor of God, like we're told in Ephesians by the Apostle Paul. In verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You can rise up all you want, but if you're not clothed in the armor of God, you're not going to be able to take those blows. You've got to rise up and get dressed, get ready. And you know what? When you arise, you get dressed for the occasion. If we're going to go play basketball after church, most of us are probably not going to wear what we're wearing right now. Right? We're going to go put on some basketball shorts, going to put on some shoes, some gym shoes, some kind of athletic shoes. And if we're going to go do some construction, if we're going to go work on something, pour some concrete, how many of you are going to wear what you wear right now? Probably not. You're probably going to put on some clothes that you don't mind to get dirty, some jeans, some boots. And you know what? If you're going to rise up and fight the devil, you better put on the armor of God. Don't try to just do it in whatever you were wearing while you were bound. Get ready. If you remember, one part of the armor is the sandals. And he tells us, Paul says, to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Prepare with the gospel. That's a huge part of the armor. Be prepared with the gospel, the good news that through Christ you are at peace with the Father and he is on your side. And that's how you can stand confident and stand firm when you arise. Then this angel says to Peter, he says, put on your garment and follow me. You know, once you stand, once you arise, once you put on that armor and you're standing in confidence in your position in Christ, then it's time to go wherever he's leading you to go. Do you know how important obedience is? I mean, he tells Peter to do this and it says, and so he did. I mean, it's like we overlook that, like, yeah, of course he did it. But do you? Do you do it when God's telling you to do something? Do you just, okay, God said that, so I did it. Obedience is so important because you know what? God may lead you to places that you don't want to go. He may lead you to places that you don't want to go. He may lead you to places that are a little bit scary. But you know what? If God is with you, who can be against you and who should you fear? Right? Follow Jesus. John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, then you shall be free indeed. There's no sense in being free if we're just going to stop and celebrate right where we're at and get recaptured and chained again. Get dressed, get going, follow Jesus, because this is where the true freedom lies. He's the way, the truth, the life. He is freedom. Follow him. Again, Peter did this and he wasn't even sure that it was really happening. How many of you are obedient to God in your dreams, in your visions? How many of you, that's the only place you're obedient to God? You don't have to raise your hand for that one. Peter did it anyway. All he knew, I'm being freed and I'm going to listen to what this angel is telling me. In verse 10, when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened up to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Peter was free in that cell, but there is more freedom to be had. There's another level of freedom. It's like once you get free, God can take you to another level of freedom and another level of freedom and another level of freedom. I don't know if you caught it, but it said they got past the first and the second guard post. This is outside of the cell. Not only did he have two soldiers in his cell, and not only did he have guards at the door, but there was not one, but two guard posts that he had to get past before he could even get to the gates to have true final freedom completely on the other side. You know, as free as he probably felt in that cell, right there when those chains fell off and he stood up, as free as he felt, that was only a taste. It was only a glimpse, only a little bit of what God can do. And I'm going to tell you that today, no matter how free you feel right where you're at, that's only a little taste. It's only a little bit, and God can take you to a whole nother level of freedom. There's always more freedom to be had in Christ. Now, don't you think that Peter, as he's been freed and they exit that cell and he sees not one but two guard posts, don't you think there maybe was a part of him that thought, oh, maybe I'm not free yet. Maybe we're not out in the clear. Maybe we're not out of the woods. Maybe there's still a chance that I could get caught again. And you know, he's only partway there. Do you know that in a prison, lots of people break out of the prison? Lots of people break out of the prison. Not lots of people get past the sniper towers. That's true. Lots of them can get out of the building. They can find a way to get out. They can hide in the laundry cart, you know, all these things you see on TV. They can get out of the physical building. But getting past the sniper tower and getting past the razor wire is a whole nother challenge all on its own. Lots of people make it there, but not a lot of people make it past there. Colossians 3:3 tells us, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." If you are in Christ, then he is your covering. If you are in Christ, you are hidden in him and you are protected in him. And I'm going to tell you what, just like Peter right here, you can walk right out past the guard post and there's not a thing that they can do about it if you are hidden in Christ. God can lead you past the guard posts and then even the iron gate, right? This heavy iron gate that you can't just go up and force open, this one that surely there's no way that you could possibly break through it. You see this gate and you're like, oh man, now what do I do? Do I just turn back and give up? Do I give in? Do I just, you know, at least I got food back there. You start thinking like the Israelites when they wanted to go back to Egypt. They're like, I'm never going to get through that iron gate. I didn't bring my cutting torch with me. This iron gate, as God approaches it, it just opens. As God approaches that final clearance, that final step of freedom with you in tow, hidden in Christ, that gate just opens all on its own out of the fear of the one who can just demolish it. This gate opens. This is the real breakthrough. When you get to this point, this is where you have the realization and the understanding that every single thing that binds you has to bow to an almighty God. All of it. It has to bow to an almighty God. There is nothing that can stand in his presence. Mountains move and iron gates are opened in his presence. You know, it's not something we can do on our own. I mean, you could go stand at the gate all you want and be like, be opened in the name of Jesus. But you know what? Unless it's his presence, unless it's his power that is behind those words, it's not going to happen. There's nothing that can stand, but nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is too difficult for him. He is Lord over all. This is a God who cursed a fig tree and it withered up. Remember that? This is a God who called out a stinky dead guy out of a tomb from 4 days old. This is a God who cleansed the lepers. This is a God who defeated death and the grave. And this is a God who sets captives free. Be bound no more. Verse 11 says, when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. Throughout this whole process, Peter wasn't really sure if he was being freed or not. He wasn't really sure that it was happening. And I would submit to you that a lot of times when we're in the process of getting free, we're not even really sure if it's happening. We're not really sure As we get out of the cell and we see the guard post, we start to have worry. We start to have fear. Oh, here I go again. I'm not really free. I'm going to end up back in the cell. No, God is with you and he has another level of freedom. But a lot of times we don't know. We don't see it as it's transpiring. But just as Peter did when he figured out that it was real, when we get to that place where we feel that freedom, we feel that deliverance, and we know that God has actually set us free, when we have those experiences where we pray and we're finally like, God Almighty spoke to me, and I feel like the weight has been lifted off of me. I feel different. I know that he has freed me. Then at that point, you will know that you were in the presence of a holy and a mighty God. It doesn't matter if you doubted it and you were unsure through the process. Just keep being obedient. Keep listening. Keep following him and do what he tells you to do. Because there will be a time where you'll be just like Peter. You'll be outside the gates. You'll be down the street, free and clear. And then you will realize, God has freed me. God has delivered me. You may not be sure, and that might be okay. Right? You don't have to be sure to be obedient. Right? Again, Peter wasn't sure. He's like, I'm not taking my chances. What if he would have assumed that it was a vision or a dream and it wasn't real? He might still be there today. Just like you see on old pictures, like bones in stocks. He might still be there today, just the bones. You don't have to be sure to be obedient. Listen to the voice of God, whether it's through reading the word, whether it's through a friend, whether it's through your prayers, whether it's through an angel, whether it's through a song or however he's speaking to you, be obedient. And if you're unwise, get wise counsel. If you're not sure if that's God, get wise counsel. What might seem a little bit crazy, what might seem a little bit risky, what might seem a little bit scary, might be the exact path to freedom. It might be exactly where God has taken you. It all starts with the wake up. Wake up and realize your situation. Wake up and realize that God is with you and that his power is within you. You know, it doesn't start with an open gate. That's where we all want it to start, right? Drop the chains off of me, open this door, remove the guards, open the gate, let me see that it's all ready, and then I'll listen. Then I'll be obedient. Then I will start walking. It doesn't start with an open gate. It concludes with an open gate. It starts with wake up and be obedient. How often is God trying to grant freedom, but we're trying to start at the wrong step? We're trying to start at the end. Open the gate. And God's saying, wake up. We're like, open the gate. And he's like, wake up. Open the gate. Right? How many of you have had these arguments with God? You're like, no, I want you to do this. And he's like, well, I want you to do this. I'm God. Listen to me. Today, listen, church, it's time to wake up. It's time for us to wake up, and whatever it is that binds you, it's time to look up. It's time to look up because help is here. It's here. His name is Jesus, and I'm going to tell you that he penetrates even the darkest places. He told us in Matthew, he said that what I will reveal to you in secret, you will proclaim in public. That's when he speaks to you the most clearest, the most loudly, just clear right to you, is when you're in those dark places and you look to him. You turn to him who's already there. He says to you, the chains are broken. Arise quickly, get dressed for battle, and follow me. You know that he will lead you out of bondage into a real, sincere, true, lasting freedom. You know, he will take you and he will hide you. He will guard you through the process as you're going out past the guards, past those that are trying to drag you back down and pull you back in. He can hide you and take you straight past those things. Do you know that he will never leave you? Listen, I think sometimes we're afraid if I start down this path, I get out of the cell and I get past the first guard post, God's going to be like, okay, he's probably got it from here and he's going to take off. No, he doesn't leave you. He'll be with you as you go past the second post and out the gates. He will not leave you. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. If you would stand with me in this place this morning, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes and just think about a couple of things here. Today, if that's you, if you need freedom, listen, in any area of your life, I want to tell you that it is nothing to be ashamed of. It is nothing to be ashamed of. We have all been there, some of us more than once. If you're in a place where you feel like you are bound, you are chained up, you are in darkness, and you need help in any area, listen, we think about things like this and it's like, well, what I'm dealing with is not that bad. I didn't ask if it was that bad. I didn't ask if you were comfortable in chains. I'm asking, are you enchained? In chains? Are you imprisoned? And you feel like you are restricted from living the life that God has for you today. If that's you, will you answer his call today to freedom? If that's you, I want you guys to begin to come to the front right now and come and line up across the front, because we're going to pray for you in just a moment. If in any area of your life you feel like you are chained up and you need freedom, come forward. And if it's not you, I want to tell you what the free people did. In verse 5 that I did not share with this, where this started, it said, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. The church was earnestly praying for Peter. And in verse 12, it says that many had assembled in a home and they were praying in the night while most other people were sleeping. And so if you are not bound and you are free as free can be, will you pray for the people that are bound today? Will you pray for freedom? Will you pray for supernatural intervention from our Almighty God this morning? Father, we thank you for your freedom. We thank you, Lord, that you have more for us than what we know right now. That there's always another level of freedom. There's always another place to go. There's always furthering down the road. We can get farther and farther away from that freedom to where the people that had us bound, the things that had us bound, they no longer recognize us or even know our name because we're so far away. And we thank you that you can bring us to that place. We thank you for what you did with Peter, and we ask that today, this morning, in just a moment, as we pray with these at the altar, God, that you would bring a true freedom that is beyond just breaking out of the chains, that's beyond just exiting the cell, but one that goes beyond the iron gates and down the road and around the corner. We ask you to do that in our midst this morning, Lord, that we can give you the glory because you are God. You are the God of all. You have overcome. You came to set the captives free, and that's exactly what we're asking you to do this morning as we pray for these down here at the altar. So Lord, we ask for your power. We ask for your might. We ask for your love and your mercy and your grace to enter this room and sweep across it right now. In Jesus' name, we're going to worship the Lord. I'm going to pray for those at the altar, and those of you that are out here, we want to do just what they did right here. I want the church praying, offering prayers for those who are down here at the front this morning, coming in agreement with what God is doing. Let's worship him as we pray.